This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Fed raises rates for the first time in 10 years. I'd say, yeah, that's where we're going to start our wrap-up of the week that was. For that, we've got Jolene Kent from Fox Business. David Gura is with Bloomberg. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Gura, let me start with you. Gut check. Big deal, not big deal, much ado about nothing, or biggest week in 10 years? Discuss.
I think it was a big deal in that there had been so much anticipation of when this would happen. I think I'm telegraphing what Janet Yellen was thinking, which you had to do it, had to get this started. So here the committee raised the benchmark rate to 0.25 to 0.5%.
Right.
Now comes a new game where we guess what the pace of this increase is going to be going forward. I think most people are thinking there'll be four increases in 2016. Oh. But again, I think the big deal was getting it done.
All right. Time step there. Four increases in 2016 from David Gura. I will say, Joe, just before we get to this next bit of the discussion, we've got Jay Powell coming up later in the show. He's a member of the Board of Governors at the Fed and also on the Federal Open Market Committee. So we'll talk to him about this. But I would love your sense of whether you think it's going to make a difference what the Fed did this week.
Well, it seems like there was a little bit of a difference. You know, the market didn't really move on Wednesday, and then you saw a hangover basically yesterday and today.
And
so
today,
exactly, 200 some points. But anyways, you know, looking at what it means for the broader economy, Asia's not in a great position. Europe is slowing down. And can the U.S. carry forward with rates still so low? What if something needs to happen with commodity prices continuing to drop and, you know, a tanking, basically.
Mm-hmm. And David, that's oil taking the bottom out of inflation and all that jazz. Do you think that they've just done this maybe to give themselves some room on the downside?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you bring up oil, and Janet Yellen brought up oil. She talked about inflation, acknowledged the fact that it isn't where she or the committee wants it to be, saying, you know, look, exclusive of oil, maybe we're in decent shape. But it is hard to ignore that, and it's hard to ignore these headwinds. And I think what we saw over these last few meetings was the Fed really trying to reckon with that. I mean, going into this meeting, more bad news out of China on trade. So there were some headwinds there, and yet the committee still moved. So, yeah, I think you're right, Kai.
All right. Joe, let's move to Washington and the budget bill, the omnibus spending package that Congress passed today and the president has signed on his way to Hawaii. I was struck by the lack of panic, by the actual economic negotiations. You know, you had things like the oil export bill and all the rest of that. I'm wondering what your sense of is there momentum now toward normalcy in Congress?
Maybe, because it seems like everybody is celebrating. I was looking at the GOP comments and the Democrats coming out of Pelosi, and you really did see everyone say, oh, we accomplished something in a bipartisan way. But if you look at what people actually got out of it, neither party really walked away with anything that they really wanted. The GOP saying also, you know, too much spending and not enough on issues like immigration. Then the Democrats are saying, you know, they're worried about lifting this crude oil ban of what? 40 years. You know, spending. Yeah, spending is up, you know, $66 billion. I mean, it's pretty serious stuff. So, you know, all sides claiming that they won. A lot of this probably has to do with the honeymoon of Speaker Paul Ryan.
Right.
We will see if that lasts into the new year. But it seems like he's able to engender a little bit more discussion, at least on the House side.
All right. Well, so let's talk, David, about things going forward here. And I'm gonna play a piece of tape in a minute. Here's the setup. 60 Minutes on Sunday is going to air an interview with Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. I, frankly, am fascinated to watch this because he doesn't do a whole lot of press. But Charlie Rose talked to him about the amount of money that Apple has overseas and what it would take to get it back into this country. And Tim Cook went off on the U.S. tax code. Here he is, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple.
This is a tax code, Charlie, that was made for the industrial age, not the digital age. It's backwards. It's awful for America. It should have been fixed many years ago. It's past time to get it done.
He also, just spoiler alert, had some choicer words that we can't probably play on public radio. I don't know. But anyway, David, question is, do you think there is a chance now that one of the most powerful CEOs, if not the most powerful CEO in the world, is taking on the tax code that finally something's going to get done?
Yeah, and there's a little two-face in this there. I mean, if he really wanted to pay the taxes that he could pay them, and we're talking about billions of dollars there. But you do have a guy who's running Congress now who is like a hobbyist when it comes to taxes. He loves taxes. He wants to do
something about this.
And you do see momentum growing, I think. But at the same time, you're seeing no end to these inversions, these attempted inversions.
Right.
You have this Pfizer-Allergan deal, essentially merging that company so that it can be in Dublin. So that continues. I think that's only going to whet the public's appetite for something to be done, something more to be done.
David Gura at Bloomberg and Jolene Kent at Fox Business. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, Guy.
All right, you too. We'll see you.